This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, try a new gig economy service. Hello?
Hello.
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 Podcast. Hey, your Skype's working again.
Yeah.
So I feel like our listeners probably don't know what happened in the last episode, but essentially...
You want to save it for the after show, or you want to talk about it now?
Oh, we can talk about it in the after show. Merlin, how would people listen to the after show if they want to hear about the it's basically, if you've seen The Prestige, it's basically a plot twist that's as good as The Prestige, and you have no idea, you don't even know the fucking layers of wool that were pulled over your eyes last week, the reality that was fabricated by engineer Alex.
It's true. I'm not going to bury another Batman. What Alex accomplished in last week's episode was miraculous. It's like watching The Prestige, and then you find out the twist and the other twist, and then you find out it wasn't actually a movie. You were actually there. You were
She really did The Prestige. She really killed her clone.
Yep.
You learn there's a fourth step. The promise.
I mean, you're not really looking.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in the after show, which you can...
That's a really excellent question, Max. The best way to get to listen to the after show is you give us your fucking money. You go to patreon.com/dubyfriday, and you give us at least $5 a month, and then you get to be...
Now, Merlin, that's a minimum. When you say at least, that means that's a minimum that you give us.
That's absolutely... You know what it is? It's a serving suggestion. It's like when you get the Stouffer's and it's got a flower on it or something. Mm. The idea is you come in, you give us as much money as you can tolerate, and then you sit with that for a while, and you think. You think about all the value you get from this program. A month like this, you get 5 episodes, you piece of shit.
We're creating, let's just say, I mean, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you're getting, what, 5 hours of audio a week?
Oh, and it's premium.
Sorry, excuse me. No. 5 hours a month? You give me 5 hours a month, right?
Well, now you think around half an hour each, but they're salty and we're tired.
No. But including the normal podcast, because Patreon, you're also you're not just paying for the 30 minutes you get on Patreon for the premium feed. You're paying for the whole thing. You're paying for this bullshit that we're doing right now. So to
quote my friend John Syracuse, if I had the option, you know what I'd give you? Nothing. You get nothing. You get the satisfaction of knowing that you're crossing my fucking palm for making this goddamn program every week that you get to enjoy and you talk about with your friends and you get to be part of the Powder Nation. That's a big deal.
But here's what I'm saying is we're giving people
yes
about 5 hours of audio a month.
Ad-free content.
Now, that is at least 2 normal movies or like 1.5 Peter Jackson movies.
Okay, that's true.
Right,
we do.
Now, how much would you pay? How much would you pay to see a movie?
If you could see.
I mean, assuming you paid for media, how much would you pay for a movie?
Oh, that's a good question. Normally, if I go in the morning, it's like $7, $9. You get the IMAX experience.
What? Whoa. The one cheap thing in San Francisco or wherever you might live is a movie? Oh.
You have a job, so you don't go to movies in the morning. If you go in the morning, it's very
I have dignity, so I don't go see movies alone in the theater. That's one of my big phobias.
You think it's a dignity issue?
Oh, that's one of my big phobias, being the only person in the theater. Ooh, that's bad. You do not want to be the only person in the theater.
I love it.
You really feel like
dogs.
Something's gone very awry in your life
if you're the only person in the theater. You don't masturbate at all.
I don't do a pee-wee in the theater. You do a pee-wee in the theater?
That's a myth. No. That was
allegedly.
A myth.
I don't know.
Allegedly?
No, actually, I think it's not allegedly. I think it's real.
Well, the truth is that there's a lot of things that count as masturbation, including taking the morning off. And then your family can see on Find My Friends and like, what are you doing at the movie theater? Like, it's for my work. Later.
You took girls to the movies on dates, I assume?
Well, that had my mom drop us off, yes.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like a makeout situation. Like,
oh, it was a makeout situation. I ruined E.T.
No.
Yeah. There's a lot of stains involved.
Ah, no!
Well, no, here's the thing. What a lot of people don't understand about teenage boys is they produce secretions with minimal effort.
I'm not talking about like a...
Is this your fetish now every time you see E.T.?
Phone home.
Be good. You be good. Dirty girl. Look at your nastiness. Yeah, you know, we would do that though. I mean, that's the thing is there's such a dearth of opportunities in the suburbs for light teenage work. of various types. You don't have that many places you can go because your parents don't want you like necking on the grounds.
Oh,
so mm-hmm. I've necked in a lot of really exotic places. Like I've necked behind an old lady's house where she couldn't see us. Let's see, I've necked in a church. I've necked in a, I was a world class necker.
Oh, good for you.
You know, you can get rid of a hickey by running a comb over it, and you tell your family that it's from a curling iron, and they don't believe you, but at least now you got ground cover.
No. You do a cold spoon.
Cold spoon gets rid of a hickey. Challenge!
Merlin, I've been mind hunting. Let me tell you.
You sent me such a good YouTube video. I sent it to my wife, and she was just as blown away.
Well, I mind hunted you.
You did. You really got
in there. To quote Jen from Cards has also been watching it, and it is kind of funny that the whole show is like, basically the premise is it's like a cop show that takes place in the 70s, and there's this dude who's like, we should understand how criminals think and study them, and then everyone else in the FBI goes, no, we shouldn't do that.
They're born that way. They're born that way, and he goes, born what
Ooh,
way?
Ooh, conflict.
Right? I mean, but it's funny. They were talking about this. I always end up listening to Slate Culture Gab Fest right before we record, and they were talking about Mindhunter. And they make a good point, which is that you do need to kind of buy in with this show. Like, I don't want to say it's a slog, but there is a lot of As You Know Bob, especially mm-hmm. in the first episode. Did you watch it, Alex? Have you been watching it?
I have watched the first episode. It's kind of like Criminal Minds, except it happened.
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, there is a lot of As You Know Bob, because, of course, now there's this entire... And Max, did I hear correctly that you read the book upon which this is based?
You know, I thought I had. I read the book by the FBI hostage negotiator, and that was... that's a great book. I'll look up what it's called in a second, but Mindhunter is a different... The book Mindhunter is based on is called Mindhunter.
It's weird, though, to go back to something that is now not simply a genre, but is like it's almost an industry. The whole idea of the Silence of the Lambs type profiling model of like thinking about, well, to understand how to solve this crime, we have to learn to think like this person thinks and understand the world the way that they understand the world. And it's gonna be really gross and at odds with our values and how we think. And that's why I say there's a lot of As You Know Bob, because what do you think? Should we call it a sequence killer? I don't know. Perhaps we should call it a serial killer. It's like, you know, Ray Charles walks by the store and sees his piano in the window or whatever. Marvin Berry? But I thought it was really good. I watched the whole freaking thing, and my wife is looped back, and because there is a lot, given that it is Fincher, there's a lot of good stuff to go back, and you'll catch, like, on a second viewing.
He hacks your brain, that David Fincher. David Fincher, he hacks your brain. Yeah, he hacks your brain. He gets right in there. He hacks you. He mind hunts you. Really, I would say he mind hunts you.
He mind hunts you.
I've been watching it. It's amazing how much TV I get through for having no time in my life. But I've been watching Mindhunter like right before I go to sleep, and Veronica's been really upset because she's like, "This is way too creepy to watch before we go to sleep." And I'm like, "No, they're just talking." But then they are talking about specifically the mechanics of how to like dismember a woman. Well, it's like you got to go slow and steady, and you got to peel the skin off in one piece.
I knew a week before that I was going to kill her.
We should listen, Ed Kemper. Come on, Dubai Friday. Was he executed by the state yet?
I saw the happy couple walking down the steps, and I thought I wanted to have a life like that.
Challenge, Ed Kemper. Come on, Dubai Friday.
Did you know Fats Domino was alive?
What do you mean? At one point? Yes.
He just died like today.
Fats Domino was alive until today? Wasn't he like an old-timey guy?
Oh, he's old-timey. He's a found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. He's a great New Orleans pianist and rock and roll guy. I figured he had to be fucking dead. He was only 89. What is happening? I figured he was 120 if he was alive.
I thought this was a serial killer, and I got excited. But no.
Did you watch the video, the Kemper video? So what we're talking about here is a wonderful video Max found. And so without spoiling Mindhunter, which you should probably watch if you like terrible things.
It's not terrible. It's really good. It's really good. It's like a play. It's a very... Because like most of the drama takes place just with them sitting across the table from a guy interviewing
and
him.
And unlike a lot of police procedurals. This is not about solving a crime that's happened and we don't know, we can't have to prove who did
it. They're not hunting the criminal, they're hunting the mind. It's in the title.
That's so good. You're absolutely right. And so it's about trying to figure out, trying to develop a profile of like what, how can we, you know, figure out how to solve these crimes in the future by changing the way that we think. But what was my point? So anyway, the show, there's several points when the show really lights up. Like, I love it from the beginning because I'm so gay for David Fincher. I love all of his stuff.
Well, he hacks your brain.
You think he hacks your brain or does he hunt your mind?
Now that's a Nerdwriter video that I would watch.
It's really all about behavior, right? This is what Robin Wright learned. Mm-hmm. It's time divided by behavior.
Well, I've learned most of my techniques from watching the Nerdwriter videos about David Fincher.
The Nerdwriter video was very good, though, because I said to my wife, I'm going to show this to you. Before we watch The Last Mindhunter, I would like you to watch this 13-minute video or 8-minute video. And I was like, this is going to seem so incredibly obvious. Like, when you explain to somebody, here's what David Fincher does. David Fincher does a thing where the camera is often in motion, and any time the character on screen moves or does something, the velocity and direction of the camera changes with them, which sounds so obvious until you think about how difficult that would actually be to do. It's one reason why he apparently requires so many dozens. What he does is he hunts the mind of the actor.
Do you want my take on this? The Nerdwriter video is good. And David Fincher, this is a signature move that he does. And I think, I don't know that I buy his whole interpretation of that you're like, oh, it puts you in the mindset of the actor or whatever.
I don't look at my refrigerator different. I thought that was a little bit of a stretch.
It's a little bit of a stretch. But what it does do, it gives the feeling of the media that it's like very smart and deliberate. Because what it leaves you with the impression with is it's whispering to you, lean in and pay attention to this because we have thought about every single thing that we're showing you. If the camera's tracking the guy's face when he sits up out of the chair, you know that it was deliberate that he sat up out of the chair at that moment and that you're supposed to follow the action. It's whispering to you like, this was very considerate. It's all important. Pay attention. And David Fincher is a very methodical filmmaker and he makes everyone do 700 takes of everything and he does know what he wants you to pay attention to. But what's unfortunate is that this cinematography is used by what I like to call all of the like smart dumb shows that are on TV, the shows that are actually extremely stupid, but they sort of have the veneer of being like a smart, well-plotted TV show. Yeah. And they're telling you, they're whispering, you know, House of Cards is like the perfect example, which in fact, like the pilot, I think was done by David Fincher. But House of Cards is the dumbest show on TV. Like it doesn't even loosely hold together in like a logical narrative structure. It makes no sense. Characters' motivations are absurd. It's not how politics works. Like it's wrong on every level.
I would say it's almost campy.
It's not good. But what they do is like they use that tracking shot all the time where everything is like matched to the actors and it's like whispering to you with the cinematography like you're just like pay closer attention. You're just not getting how smart and clever this all is. And it drives me insane.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a fictional show.
But Breaking Bad was fictional and that was really smart. When the camera panned in Breaking Bad and it showed you the cactus and it was like, hey, look at this cactus.
Yeah.
You know what? You were glad you paid attention.
Called The Prestige.
The problem with Breaking Bad, though, is there would be an amazing, wonderful director and then, like, Rian Johnson.
Is that how you say it? Rian?
I say Rian.
Rian Johnson?
Rian of Tart.
I think it's actually John Rianson.
When John Rianson did those two episodes, like they
Rian
were...
Rian the Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, God.
We're back on our bullshit. Oh,
God. I asked on Twitter the other day, we were doing a cards call. Everyone wrongly assumed that I was high. I wasn't high. We were doing a cards call and we were doing comedy writing and your mind goes to weird places. And we were trying to write a joke about Transformers. And I realized I've seen all this.
I love that tweet.
And I've seen all this Transformers media. I used to watch Transformers Beast Wars before school and eat Pop-Tarts every day. And I think I've seen fragments of the Transformers films like on airplanes and stuff. But you know what I realized is I have no idea why they're fighting. Why are the Transformers
That's such
fighting?
A good I don't know. I saw that and I thought about it. I was going to make a ha-ha response. I was going to lol you. But then I was like, shit, I have no idea why the Transformers
Like, you take it as a granted that in the franchise, the Transformers will be fighting each other. But why? Like, to what end?
Like, is it like Cars, Max? There's nobody. They're not like, it's not like a Pacific Rim kaiju type situation. You're not inside of the Transformer. The Transformer is its own Lightning McQueen.
Well,
right?
I believe in the homunculus theory of cars. So I think within every car, there's
is
a
that
smaller.
That's you have a tinier, well,
It was an Enlightenment era. It was like a 1700s thing when they got good at making glass and they could do microscopes and they would look at sperm under the microscope. I mean, you think about it. You make a microscope. Yeah. What's the first thing you're going to put under there? You're going to put sperm. Some jizz in there and you're going to zoom in and be like, wonder what's in there, my little guys. And they saw the microscope was good enough to see sperm, but it wasn't good enough to really see them. And so that what they looked at and they saw your little wigglers in there and they're like, that's a little me. And inside each of them is yet a smaller me. And that was for a long time. That was the scientific consensus on where people came from was the homunculus
all the way down.
It's jizz all the way down. But
and
anyway,
it's a lot like sea monkeys. They carry briefcases to work, but they're not really brine shrimp.
Yeah, and you can order them in a little packet online.
That's right.
So I wound up on the Wikipedia page and the TF Wiki, which is the Transformers Wiki, and reading about all of the crazy mythology of Transformers. And one of the things I learned, speaking of homunculus theory, is that there was a problem in the franchise that Transformers Hasbro was like, the Transformers can't fuck. But they had to make new Transformers somehow, so they came up with this like whole mythology of like a replicator technology that they fought each other over or something to make new Transformers. But
that's like the mechanical version of a stork. Can't you just have like spontaneous generation?
Well, you'd think that they could hand wave that away.
Are they
away,
from another planet? What? Who makes the Transformers?
Well,
oh my God!
I have no answers for you about this, but I did go. But in my Wikipedia journeys, I learned that their new Transformer movie that came out this year is like a King Arthur movie, and it has. Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
The devil, you say.
He's in the new Transformers film.
Alex, don't hold back. If you have information about what a Transformer is it something where it just looks like a car bee?
Yeah, they're aliens and they came to...
Why? If they're aliens, why do they look like a truck from the 90s?
Because they don't want people to know that they're aliens, so they disguise themselves as trucks and they're being chased by, people
That's
are going to
get
mad.
That's why they're robots in disguise.
What, yes, exactly. Yeah.
What's a GoBot?
A GoBot
is a
ripoff.
It's more than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When I was in, I think in like kindergarten, that we had like a communal toy shelf in the kindergarten classroom, and when it was time free playtime, you could just get toys and play with them.
That's how you get the pink guy.
And oh, for sure. And there was a Transformers toy in there, and I'd never seen a Transformers before. And I think it transformed into a fighter jet, and I like it. And so I just stole it. I'm just gonna take this because I like playing with it, and I should be able to play with it all the time. And then, of course, as soon as I got home and played with it, my parents were like, where'd you get this fighter jet from? And I was like, I found it.
Mm-hmm.
I got
that's a tough conversation.
I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew how wrong it was.
Well, when you really want it, my daughter had a toy we called Taxi Friend, and it was this little taxi with wheels and a sweet face on it. And whenever she'd go to preschool, she would arrive early and go to the big room where Taxi Friend was, and she would hide Taxi Friend so nobody else could play with him.
Oh, and it was the school's toy.
It was the school's Taxi Friend.
But she never took it.
Well, no, because we're middle-class white people, we eventually got her own Taxi Friend. Right. There is a fair amount of it, Piers.
What a good way to defuse that situation. I don't know why my parents never considered buying me a fighter
jet.
It's
really late capitalism. I'm reading some of the fan fiction that's available for Transformers, and some of it is pretty sexy.
Now, they've solved the problem of the Transformers not being able to fuck.
Yeah.
Well, of course they fuck. I mean, you know, in fan fiction, doesn't everything fuck?
What are you going to turn? What are you going to transform into a truck, but you can't fuck?
All truck, no fuck.
Max, do you want to read us something sad?
Oh, well, I am not really doing the news anymore. I mean, it's not my beat anymore, guys. We're a year in. It's like not as funny anymore. I don't know. Maybe it'll become funny again. But
were you moved by Jeff Flake's moving speech that was moving?
I already forgot that it happened. As a matter of fact, yeah. Keep I bet going. Everyone listened to this too. Remember Jeff Flake? Remember how that was going to change everything?
100%.
It was like, oh, this will be remembered by the history books. I bet you don't even fucking...
Or you could go and do your fucking job.
I bet that...
You could do your job is another thing you could do.
Right, yes, right. If you're so disgusted by the way things are going, you could not... He voted with the Republicans to... Yesterday, they undid a big signature piece of the financial... Of the post 2008 collapse reform, where they had made a law that said that you can do class action lawsuits against banks and credit cards, and Republicans repealed that, so you can no longer do class action lawsuits against banks and credit cards, because of course, why would you, right?
It's like, bad for business.
Like, mm-hmm. Bad for business. You wouldn't want that. And Jeff Flake made that very brave, bold speech, but then voted to get rid of the class action lawsuits. So,
oh dearie me, don't throw me in the Maverick patch.
Just fuck you, guy. Jeff Flake, suck my balls. This is from Leanne Caldwell. She's a reporter for NBC and covers Capitol Hill. And she tweeted this morning, she said, overheard Secret Service on Donald Trump at lunch. He ate rice and two pieces of cherry pie, took a few sips of his drink. Quote, he loves rice.
He loves rice.
Why? Let me ask you guys a question. Yeah. Why is it that every morning I have to wake up and I have a piece of like thin, like whole wheat seed bread with like a slice of avocado in it and egg whites, and then go about my business and just try to get through the day with some sort of semblance of energy and health at the end of the day? And fucking Donald Trump is out there eating rice and two pieces of cherry pie and what I presume is a Coca-Cola, and the man's never going to die. He gets to be president. He gets to be president, and he's never going to die, and everyone lies about his golf score. What kind of a fucking world are we living in that I have to eat my scrambled egg whites and the president gets to eat two pieces of cherry pie and he gets to be president?
He's a good boy.
You need a blood boy. Do you think Trump
has a blood boy?
Do you think
he has a blood boy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a Baron Harkonnen, like you just pop him open and just like kind of suck
what
out.
What if that's essence? Eric? I mean, what if, because you think like Donald Trump Jr. Looks like a child of Donald Trump, whereas Eric kind of looks like a sickly clone. So that's exactly what he
My
is.
My father eats two pieces of cherry pie for lunch every day.
My father is changing the way that millennials buy bread.
Eric Trump is basically a disabled to Boodle Link. Let's see. I'm sorry to dump this on you. I'm happy to help, Optimus said. He looked at her closely, her tear-stained face and puffy eyes. She looked beautiful.
Wait, is this a human woman or a robot?
No, she's human.
The robots can fuck humans? Okay, well, the Autobots are an alien race.
Data,
and the Decepticons are also an alien race. They are not robots.
Star Trek.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that they can't fuck. I'm saying that they're not robots. I would care a lot more about Transformers if they were actually robots, but they are organic beings from another planet.
Wait, they're organic? What does that mean?
It means
they just look like cars.
Exactly. They're robots in disguise.
Wait, what do you mean a robot? But a robot is not an organic being.
They're
not on this planet.
Exactly.
What does that mean they're an organic? They have blood and...
I may be able to explain this to you, Max. Maybe it's time for a change, he suggested after a few silent minutes. Fat chance, she said softly. Believe me, I know what I like. I like muscles and gorgeous shoulders and big, powerful. Most of these guys are assholes.
But what muscles? They just have squares.
Well, here
comes
the
reveal. Am I wrong about what a Transformer looks like? It's basically squares.
Here comes the reveal, because there's about to be some finger banging. I don't know, he said, lifting a hand to her face. Michaela barely noticed that what touched her skin wasn't a metal finger. A small hatch opened in the tip, emitting a thin, tapered cable, which sought her tears and brushed them away gently. She reached out to touch it, unthinking. Hey, I didn't know you guys had extendable fingers. She took the prehensile cable in her palm. And
is that a real line of dialogue? Or I can't tell if you're making this up quickly on the fly or if that's...
I mean,
Max,
if that's the case,
are you punching it up? Are you punching it up or are you reading this verbatim?
No, I think I'm punching down and I'll own that. I'm on fanfiction.net. And,
no, but do you know what I'm saying? Did you make up that line? Oh, I didn't know you had extendable fingers, Michaela said. That's a real line of dialogue someone wrote?
Well, I'm reading a piece called Faces of Need. It's got 220 faves.
But they're not muscular. They're just boxy.
Why is it prehensile? That's so disturbing.
They're muscular in the same way that Trump is, which is they have a lot of mass. And you can't really, it's kind of an indistinct blob. And I guess Oh, boy. Have you guys seen the conservative political cartoonists who draw Trump as like a muscle man under his suit?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Very Are funny. It's very funny.
It's creepy looking.
Yeah.
It's like Garfield Nine Lives level of uncanniness.
Oh, Jim Davis said, follow-up. Dugga. Jim Davis said that Garfield didn't drink the jizz.
Yeah, what was his explanation for this? It's so fucking, like, God damn, can't you just be funny, Jim Davis? Can't you just give us one?
He said that when he was growing up, he lived on a farm. And before pigs would inseminate other pigs, they would feed them like a high calcium beverage. And he assumed that vets did the same thing to dogs when they were going to breed a dog. But that was the joke, was that he drank
looking at hentai porn with my family. Mm-hmm. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Well, I was curious.
Curious.
Right. Just say that.
I wanted to explain a joke to my child about tentacle porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did either of you watch the Garfield Nine Lives, the short video I sent you? And by short, I mean about 15 minutes of a cartoon.
Did it have Ed Kemper in it? Because if it's not about reading about serial killers on Wikipedia, I honestly don't think I'm...
Veterinarians like me, Joseph Wamba.
Oh, I've learned a lot of techniques from Joseph Wamba.
Talk too much about the jizz that I drink.
That's how they get you. You have to pretend not to be interested in the jizz that you drink.
They like me. I learned a lot about my procedure from Garfield. Like the
this is killing. There's two people listening to this episode who are losing it right now, and everyone else. Everyone else is googling how to cancel Patreon.
Close reading of Nermal.
Oh, God.
Oh, we should do a new cartoon, Kemper minus Kemper. So. Make Jim Davis funny again. Pound sign.
My God.
When was the first time that either of you thought, what if I grow up to become a serial killer?
I still think that every day. I'm like, I think.
But when was like the first time?
I think Wikipedia was really big for the evolution of my serial killer fantasy life, because I think once you could go in and really read about, we talked about this on the show, like once you could really go in and study like all the different serial killers, and Wikipedia will like rank them by number of victims too. Mm-hmm. Like, let me see if I can find this page. Serial
sequence killers.
I'm in Safari and none of my hotkeys work.
Like the titular cat, I also do not like Mondays. I enjoy lasagna. I'm a remove.
Wikipedia, list of serial killers by number of victims. Here
I
we
put
go.
The lasagna into a lady's shoe.
Now, the all-time goat of serial killers is La Bestia, the Beast, and he killed a lot of children, but
it's not Chikatilo. I thought Chikatilo was a baller.
He is.
Give
not,
me the title of that page. I want to find it.
It's called List of Serial Killers by Number of Victims. And then what's great is that it's all hot linked, right? So you read about a guy and you're like, oh, the monster of the Andes who targeted young girls between 8 and 12. I would love to learn more about his specific methodology. You click on him. Now he's killed 110 people.
Huh.
But what I like is that they have both. This is very smart. I mean, this is what distinguishes. This is the scholarship that I look for on Wikipedia. They have two columns. They have Merlin. They've got proven victims and possible victims.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, Chikatilo's pretty far down. Chikatilo's 53 proven, 56 possible. You're talking this Luis Garavito.
Yeah,
that guy's serious. That guy that he is dedicated to his craft. Holy shit. What is it with Colombia? What is it with Colombia? Look at that.
Well, Colombia can make them. I mean, this is like, if this was the Olympics, I would be ashamed to be an American. I mean, we do not even clock in.
We didn't even medal.
We've only got, only Gary Ridgway makes the top 10, and he only killed 49 people.
Oh, the Green River Killer.
Really disagree with you guys. I think it is quality over quantity. Like, I mean, it's easy to mow down, you know, all of your child soldiers.
You're right.
But you could go down a little further. You get Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy are in close contention. You got 33 for Gacy, 35 for Bundy. They never, that's so weird. But you know who's bummed? I'll tell you who's bummed. The people who are in Section 2, serial killers with 30 victims or fewer. You look at a poor fellow like Dean Carrill. He's got 29. He's right on the cusp. He could make it to the bigs.
Now, what did he do? I don't know this one. He tortured and murdered young boys in Pasadena.
Responsible for, let's see, Houston mass murders. Okay, had an accomplice. And they always have three names. Elmer Wayne Henley. How are you not a serial killer with the name Elmer Wayne Henley?
The Freeway Phantom. Sorry. God, this is terrible. I wonder if, I mean, well, one, they should not let 14-year-olds take criminology. And they say immediately, now don't, just like they do if you take, like, intro to psych, like, don't project yourself onto any of these people. But there are very few women serial killers. So yeah. When you see Aileen, when I see Aileen Wuornos, I'm like,
that's Charlize Theron?
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I could see how he could get there. Yeah, it makes sense.
Wait, what about Carol Cole? Oh no, that's a man.
Play bass on the Beach Boys songs. Let's see. Find Carol Cole, Carolina.
I think you're thinking of Carol King.
I see.
No, that's a man.
I think it was around age 10, probably, because around 10 is where I first. That's when I feel like I first. This is obviously pre-internet. This would be the mid 70s, where I'm becoming very aware that oh my god, there's a really big world out there that I'm only seeing little pinhole glimpses of. And plus, I had just the tiniest bit of OCD, and so, like, you know, I had baby OCD, but like I would start thinking, you know, you get what they call like an intrusive thought or an invasive thought, and you go like, could I do that? Somebody did that. I bet that person used to be a 10-year-old who hadn't killed anybody yet, and then your mind starts racing a little bit. Alex, did you ever worry about being a serial killer?
Of course I did. From the time, I still do.
Maria Bamford talks about this very eloquently, you know, that you get this idea in your head that it just won't go away. And even though it's not who you are, you know what I mean?
No, and well, in all seriousness, like you're in bed and you're like, how come there's not more people who are just pushing people in front of trains? Like, why? Right. How is that not a thing? And be like, oh, whoopsie. And
well, you mean that we know of?
Exactly. Well, the thing that kills me about, well, again, I've only watched the first episode of Mindhunter, but it's this isn't really a spoiler, but it's like, oh man, crime is so different than it used to be. It was just harder to catch serial killers before. Like, it's a hard time to be a serial killer.
Well, it's amazing that, yeah. I think we haven't had a good old-fashioned serial killer in the U.S. in a long time, which is like someone who kills a young boy on the highway like once a month. You got to do them all at once.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you'd get caught. You wouldn't get through three boys before you got caught nowadays.
It used to be like the Atlanta guy where it would happen over like 20 years, where it might happen like a couple times a year. And then as we know from Silence of the Lambs, it starts escalating and you start doing it more often and you get sloppy.
Did you guys remember the guy from Wired, the reporter, who was like, I'm going to go missing and everyone can try and find me?
Yeah, I feel like I do. But they found him, right?
It was pretty cool, yeah. So it was a story for Wired, and this guy was going to be like, basically, he was going to be like, I want to see how possible it is to, like, disappear in America nowadays. This was a few years ago. And let me see if I can look this up. Wired. You know what I don't like about Safari? Why is it that when I hit Apple T to make a new tab, my cursor doesn't go into the search bar? Where do they think I want to do?
Command L.
I know, but I don't want to hit Command L. I just want to hit Command T and then start typing. Chrome does it. Where else do they think your cursor focus should possibly be? Except in the bar. Of course, when you make a new tab, you want to have your cursor.
I think it should just default to going to my reading list that I obviously use constantly. That's super frustrating.
All right.
Wired is such a mess. Oh,
Wired.
I just paid $10.
I am living in Reader View, boy. Ooh, boy, Reader View is changing the game for me.
Yes, here it is. I think it's called Vanish. I think that was the name of the story. And Evan Ratliff was the guy. So basically, he went on the run across America and tried to disappear. And he planned it for months in advance. So he got like a new identity. He like did what he could to get a new identity, a new credit cards and everything. And he was found almost immediately. Like people figured it out.
Well, I can't do this for literally one day. It would fail instantly.
But I'm just saying, if you're trying to disappear off the grid and kill young boys on the side of the highway, no way.
I don't want to kill young boys. I want to kill old boys. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Aileen Wuornos, she was clearly unwell. And
who is this?
You don't know
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Charlize Theron. With Christina Ricci.
No, not Monster. What was it called?
Yeah, it was called Monster. But there's also two really good documentaries, and they were kind of the first like true crime documentaries that actually had access to their subjects. And I'll put it in the show notes. I think they're on Netflix, and they're very good. Monster is also very good. But yeah, she was an angry lesbian who worked as a prostitute and occasionally killed the guys who were dicks to her. Because yeah. Why not?
Story checks out.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, again, the Catholic thing, like the whole death penalty, mm-hmm. like the fact that she was, it's very sad. Oh man, why is Wikipedia shaming serial killers by saying it's not just under 35, it's with less than 5 victims? It's like,
you're not even a media luminary.
Fewer
at
than
that point.
5.
Mm. Yeah, you're never gonna make Forbes if you only kill 5 people.
3 of them were accidents. I suck.
You could always walk along the ocean if it's not too deep.
I've shared my I want to share my theory real quickly because I think I've shared it with Max, but I think that there are more serial killers than ever, but most of them are doctors because and most of them are surgeons because so just every year or so, you know, you I'm so sorry, like we did the wrong blood type. Oh, it's this high risk surgery. So sorry. And then like as it escalates, you just assume, "Oh, it's because this doctor is getting older," and then he retires and then dies.
Oh, that is good. That is so disturbing.
I'm not even kidding. I'm so confident in this theory.
You know, there's all kinds of ways. You could be in a position where, like, people die sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it just happens.
Craig Price, known as the Warwick Slasher, teenager who stabbed 2 women and 2 children in Rhode Island in the late 1980s. Sorry to dwell on this, but do you really get a cool name if you only slash 4 people? I mean, you're not really a slasher if you only get 4 people.
Well, it depends how good the slash
was. I feel like we need a formal convention that you have to kill 10 people before you earn your name.
Oh no,
I don't think so. You don't get to be like the Banshee of Chicago unless you kill 10 people.
The mini challenge. If you were a serial killer, what would you like your name to be?
Oh,
shit, dog.
Fuck.
That's interesting.
And go any way you want with this. I mean, obviously, you might want to think about
Alex,
like,
would be something called, like, the cuck maker or like the cuck killer. The cuck killer.
No, because then killer. I'm killing. No, you're right. Oh,
the cuck queen? Yeah. Is that a thing?
I guess it would work, yeah.
The cuckinator.
I want to be like the jackal.
Oh, there's already a jackal.
There's definitely already a jackal.
Isn't there a jackal of Carlos?
In James Bond, there was.
Oh, there was that jackal too. I think I just want to be Mr. Business. Let them figure out what it means.
There's a guy. There was an Egyptian chemist known as the Jackal of Ciudad Juarez, and that's
the Jackal
so cool.
of Ciudad Juarez. It's like Hank Hill. Oh,
that's a good Hank Hill, Merlin. He should become a character on our show.
The Hank Hill impersonation guy. Do you want to be discovered? Do you want to be found out? Do you want eventually to get credit for your crimes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to get the credit and then probably blow myself up in the police station. I feel like that's kind of the way to go.
That's a cuck move. That's a cuck move.
No, that's that. No, no.
Do you remember the Richard Speck video? Do you remember? No spoilers. But so Richard Speck was a famous killer guy. Do you remember that video that emerged in the 90s? Did you ever watch that? Were you around for that? This video, I think it was after his death, but this, go search for Richard Speck, maybe prison video. This video leaked. Somebody had inside the prison with like a handy cam, like shot this video of Richard Speck doing beeges and doing drugs and showing they'd smuggled in hormones and he had boobies. And it's a thing you probably don't want to miss. Richard?
Well, why? It doesn't sound like a thing that I want to miss.
No. Richard Speck.
Prison video.
Video. Because it's real mellow. Like, the nice thing is, you think, like, if you were going to do a beach with your boobies in prison with the drugs and whatnot, you would think it's going to be real rushed. Super relaxed. Super relaxed.
Uncovered a grotesque reminder of Richard Speck. The disturbing video in which Speck discusses the murders and shows evidence of his bizarre life behind bars.
How'd you feel after killing those ladies?
How'd you feel after killing those ladies, Richard Speck? Like I always felt.
They're nurses.
I had no feeling.
What's happening? Why is...
They're just doing a little interview show inside prison. Can you see his boobs?
More shocking. Yeah, sure. You can see him. Why? This is too much. Now this feels bad. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it turns out I did have a line.
Yeah.
Max got squicked. Max got squicked.
Wow, I don't think I know it. I actually don't think I can continue this video.
He had a line, a line.
I mean, to be clear, anyone else who has a line is a total guy.
We'll put it in show notes so you can discover your line.
But what about that haircut? This is really, this is really upsetting, and this should not be on YouTube.
Digga, update. So I did what I normally do where I prepare for a program, and I like go into... What? The pendulous.
It's just so upsetting.
Yeah. They're like two hasty water balloons.
I really...
I can't unsee.
It's so upsetting, Merlin.
He's just sitting there. He's not going, I'm a bad guy. He's just sitting there topless.
I really don't like it.
No. And he's got kind of like an Eastern European math teacher, like 80s child star. All right,
okay. Stop talking about... God, I'm going to be falling asleep tonight. I'm going to be thinking of him sitting there with his legs crossed. with his boobies out. He's talking about killing people.
Tell me about the nurses.
Oh, I don't like this one bit. I think you mind hunted me. I think I just got mind hunted.
You just got brain hacked. Follow my eyes, bitch.
Oh my God.
So when I'm preparing for a program, sometimes I like to go to the website called Nextdoor and look into what's happening on Nextdoor. Are there gunshots? You know, was it beats? I'm looking at all the things that are happening on Nextdoor, and I noticed an uptick in our local reporting from people who say they're coming to Nextdoor with data that they've received from an app called Citizen. So, of course, I went and I downloaded Citizen. Citizen is an application that currently operates only in New York City and San Francisco. And I guess they're keying off of 911 calls, and it presents a live map of what's happening with crime in your area. And you can go and explore it. My favorite, as I think you saw in the screenshot, my favorite feature, I don't know what you call, what would you call that emoji, Alex? You know the names of these.
Like an uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Or it's not shocked, but like it's this emoji where the face goes, oh?
Like,
and so
oh,
instead
man.
Of a like, oh. A heart, you don't have a like, you don't have a heart, you have an So you go and you see that there are teens with steel rods marauding in the Sunset District, and you can click on the button. Yeah, this seems healthy. This seems like a real healthy app to keep running in the background all the time.
Here's an app I would pay. I'd pay $100 a month for this. Why are there helicopters over my house right now? .com. Oh,
you know, like in LA, like that would be huge. You could make so much money. Why is there a helicopter over my house?
I sometimes about once a month or so, there's some helicopter over my house, and I go online and I go on Twitter because maybe I'm like, oh, someone in the neighborhood has posted, or I go in the neighborhood watch like Facebook group, and you can never find out why there's a helicopter over your house. I feel like if who could fly helicopters? It could be the news. It could be cops. I guess it could be someone filming something.
But what are you going to do with that information?
Maybe they're filming an episode of The Bachelorette.
I wonder if they alert, like, well, excuse me, citizens of Naples will be...
Is anybody else seeing
Diggy is taking Rachel out on a date on the helicopter, and you may hear a lot of helicopter
noise. There's a rose ceremony in your vicinity.
Bow now, bow now.
Amy!
Oh, boy.
That's a little callback bit.
Thank you.
You're at patreon.com/dobyfriday.
He's just sitting there, looks real relaxed. He looks just...
Don't, please move on, please. Yeah. Why did you tell me about that? Was that going somewhere that where... Do you know what I mean? Like, why watch it? Why did you
watch
it?
What was that in the service of, is your question.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know... poser is such a strong word. I get the feeling you like to dabble a little bit in this for titillation, and I just want you to get real deep in the shit. I want you to go beyond reading three funny names in Columbia and really see what's going on inside when you're in the hole.
Right down in the hole.
No, because here's the thing with me is that I think I like to think of myself as a pretty tough guy, and I watch Mindhunter right before I go to bed, and Veronica's not happy with me, because she obviously has to listen to it, and I'm like, well, they're just talking about murders. It's not actually scary. Like, they're not, they're not doing murders on the show. They're just discussing that they've done them. But then I have really bad nightmares about Mindhunter.
Oh, no. That was me in Vietnam for a while. Now I just watch videos about how to be better at playing bass. And that's a nice, and I don't even really play bass. So Adam Neely, check it out. Very relaxing videos.
I had very bad nightmares when I saw Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, really?
That whole thing really upset me. I think there's an Ira Glass interview, or he
I'm
talks
gonna call
about
you Private Bad Dream.
There's an Ira Glass interview where he talks about that when he was a kid, he was always really scared of getting like drafted into the military, because when you'd see military movies, it always seemed like people were running places. It seemed like there was a lot of running, and he was really bad at running and really hated running. And I have to say that's a major component of it for me. Like, Full Metal Jacket has a lot of running in it.
Oh, that's true.
And I really don't like running. And I got very scared of going to war.
Is running a trigger for you? Do you feel like?
Oh boy, do I not like running.
Do you feel like you should get a trigger warning for running?
Trigger warning, running.
PTSD.
Jen had a birthday party at Laser Tag a couple years ago, and that really should have come with a trigger warning. Running. Trigger warning, running. I ran for about 30 seconds, and then I was like, I think I'm just going to find a sniper's perch.
You just got to hide.
Yeah, well.
Isn't that what you do in your video games, Alex? You like to just go and
I
hide?
I do. I hide.
They should make you a video game that's just about hiding.
Oh! Big video game.
Front Matter. Oh, those Duke boys.
Front Matter. So I downloaded, Destiny 2 came out for PC. It's the first of the Destiny games that's been available for PC, so I can play it. I'm not a console gamer, really. I have like a PlayStation, but I do not enjoy playing games on the TV. I'm a mouse and keyboard man. Played Destiny last night for maybe 4 or 5 hours. Very cool. I had a lot of fun with it. I did like the tutorial. I really liked it. And then they kind of open up the game once you're done with the tutorial, and it's like, okay, now you can get in your little spaceship and fly around anywhere and go do whatever you want. I have no idea what the fuck to do. So what I've done is I've flown my little spaceship to a few places, and then I sort of get out of the ship and look around for like a quest or something, and then just get killed by like randomly spawning enemies. So here's what I think. I think there should be a podcast where John Siracusa explains how to play Destiny to me.
That's a really that's such a good idea.
And I'll sort of complain the whole time.
We had a whole episode of Reconcilable Differences, well, most of an episode, where he tried to explain it to me, and I wasn't even funning. I was trying really hard to understand it, but it sounds like a really good game.
Here's what I have put
together.
We know
your buddies with the McElroys. Why don't you go main Hanzo with them? Can't you go do video games with the McElroy brothers?
Well, did you just say main Hanzo?
It's close enough.
Wow.
Here's the situation. Everyone's been playing Destiny for a really long time, and most people play Destiny 1. So, A, they have a lot of institutional knowledge of, like, what is the good guns are and where you go and who all the important NPCs are. They, like, know all this shit about the world. But also, most of people have been playing for a couple months, and they have, like, really powerful characters. And I just started, and it's like I die immediately. If any time I go do anything, I die. And
so
I don't know.
It's kind of like being a low-level character in D&D, but it's like a high-level campaign.
Yeah, but exactly. But I'm joining in, and everyone else is level 30, and I have my like level 1 spells, and they're just not cutting it. So kind of need someone to. I mean, I do have video game friends who will play with me and help me explain the game to me and stuff. But but I do need someone to really explain. So I googled what do I need to know about Destiny 1 before I went to sleep last night, because I was like, I'm very confused about everything happening in this world, and I don't know who any of these people are, and. The video, no shit, the top video of like it was like everything you need to know about Destiny 1 to play Destiny 2, the top video, an hour and 40 minutes. And it's just a lecture by a guy with like a slideshow behind it explaining the first thing, before we can even get to the Age of Cities, first we need to get to humanity's golden age, which all started in, and it's just like, and then he was like, well, we're not going to individually cover each of the iron
words.
You got
to understand that wizards are actually angels, and there's a series of rings.
Right.
Well, how about this? Can we find a way to make some fucking money from this? What about this? You can cut this out, Alex, if Max doesn't like it. What if friendly listeners of the Powder Nation send you screenshots of their high-level character and offer to walk you through
this? Well, I don't even want a screenshot, but, you know, I think...
Well, you don't want somebody just going, oh, yeah, like I'm a baller.
let me take it and turn it. How about this? I've long felt that we need a Dubai Friday Discord channel so all of the Powder Nation who play video games can get together and... play like Overwatch and PUBG and Destiny, I guess. So if anyone is starting Destiny on PC and wants to explain to me Like, I'm literally wearing, the clothing items I'm wearing are literally called rags. I have one called, like, I'm literally wearing an item called
small cloth bag and a tunic.
Yeah, I literally am wearing an item called,
like, Doris East and North.
It's called, like, refugee rags. It's, like, literally the name of an item that I'm wearing. And I know that, and I know
you
I shouldn't
got
be.
Something that was, like, donated to a box.
And I know that I shouldn't be wearing, I know I should not be going into battle wearing an item called refugee rags, but I haven't figured out what the currency is in this world or how I get it to pay people and or what's good or not. So I really need people to explain this to me. And maybe in the show notes, if I go check the show notes and see if I set up a surprise. Maybe I set up a Discord, and we'll have a link in the show notes, and you can pop into the Discord and play Destiny with me in the evening.
You can find the Discord link probably at patreon.com/dobyfriday, and if you become a $10 member or member, I don't know what things are called.
Trust your intuition. Keep going. You were doing great.
Yeah, I wanted to see where that was going.
Give us money, please.
God, you almost sounded confident for a second. It was super hot.
Oh yeah. No. No.
We'll post a special members Discord only is. Update. Merlin's going to share a video with you this week. That's
Discord.
Really something.
Oh, my, are you kidding? That video?
Yeah, Merlin's going to put it in. That's going to be members only content. Not guys. Just anyone gets to see that.
Hey, guys.
Why were they taking that video in the prison?
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? You don't. There's no AV club in prison.
Okay, but, like, think about this. Think about this. Wouldn't you love to have something in your life that's a combination of a casual interview and a drug party?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't that be kind of baller if you could just take your top off and just really just let it all hang out and talk about nurses, but also, like, have mm-hmm. a little bit of marijuana cigarette? You would enjoy that. That's a very relaxed environment.
This guy, okay, check this guy out. Moses Saitol. He killed 38 people mm-hmm. and in South Africa. And he's known, his name is a serial killer. He's known as South Africa's Ted Bundy. What kind of bullshit is that?
What, you mean that we, like, Ted Bundy should be, like, America's...
Moses Saitol.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a white guy, so
he was sentenced to 2,410 years of imprisonment with a non-parole period of 930
years.
That's
kind of cold.
That's a pretty long time.
That ought to do the trick.
It's okay. He's eligible for parole in a millennium.
All right, Dig Dug.
We did have a challenge.
We
this
did
week.
Have
actually
a challenge
have
this
exciting
week.
Things, items.
I just sent you guys a text real quick.
This.
All right, the challenge this week. It's was it Alex's?
I think so. I don't remember. It's a blur. But the challenge this week was to try a new gig economy service.
Oh, it had to be a new one.
One that you have never used before.
Okay, that didn't. Why, Merlin? Why did you stop?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you get that?
Stop! Oh my God. How
if
many
you watch
of these?
Them, if you watch them in succession, it's almost like a movie.
Stop! Why
are
did you do this?
Post-it notes. What is it? Look, and is that Miles Davis he's talking to?
Why? Oh my God!
It's just real relaxed.
Why?
He got that haircut on purpose. He put all of that effort into his water
oh my
balloon boobies,
God.
But then he has that haircut. Yeah.
I really don't like this.
I'm sorry. I'll delete him.
Dig Dug, the challenge this week was to, I tried some new gig economy services that I'd never, remember that 5 seconds of confidence? That's out the window. But I tried a couple services that I'd never used before, but ideally you guys have brought something to the table that has some sort of audio element that we can
I
want to
hear how yours
facts.
Went, Alex.
Well, do you guys remember Washio?
Yes.
Is this the laundry startup that would come to your house and do your laundry?
Yes. And then they would come back with, like, chocolate, and it would be in a silk bag, and it was very uncomfortable. However, Chicago now has a company called Drivey. Like
Drivey? Do they drive the little scoot scoots?
I don't know. But they are coming here between noon and 1 p.m.
What do they do?
They're going to take. Oh, did you not see my?
No, I don't see any. I don't see anything. What is that? What am I
this
looking at?
This is my giant bag of laundry that.
Oh,
I'm
you're going
to
have
them
sous vide that,
man.
Yeah,
you're good.
Maybe.
Oh, it's sous vide as a service. SaaS.
No. But I'm very.
Are
curious.
You going to make them come into the studio and yes. like get it in this? Oh my God! Yes. What is this? Like this is like some sort of like yes. fetish thing? Like
no.
Oh,
oh
my
yeah.
God.
People walking into my studio real hot.
Can you come in here and watch me shower?
Easy.
D-R-Y-V.
Yeah. Okay. At first I was concerned that they were going to just drive me to a laundromat somewhere. But no, apparently they're going to come pick up my laundry. But here's the thing. Patreon.com/DubaiFriday. I have no idea how much this is going to cost. There was no indication anywhere.
Oh my God. Have you ever been traveling and the hotel has a little card that's like, hey, we'll do your laundry for you. Fill this bag up.
We've talked about this. I've never wanted to do that ever.
I've done that a few times, and then sometimes it comes back, and on your hotel bill, it's like, oh, and also you spent $800
yep.
on laundry.
Mm-hmm.
This is a funny running bit with Mike Hurley, where for a couple weeks he wouldn't even announce how much he'd spent on hotel laundry because he was so embarrassed.
I didn't understand. I've done that. I didn't understand. I sent a bunch of like shirts, and they like pressed them, and
it
then they came
so
back,
simple.
And it was like
you scan the chart, and it's like a mini bar thing where you're like, oh, you know, if I have a Toblerone, that's no big deal, and they're like, oh, that's $150 for these two shirts. You're like, what? That's bananas.
Mm. Yeah. Because everything they do, it's like, oh, you want them washed and dried and
ironed?
Well,
you
got to
tell them you don't want it dry cleaned and pressed and all that stuff. Like, just wash my T-shirts like a gentleman.
Right. So I decided to use Fiverr, which is the service that you can pay people $5 to do whatever. And I hired, Zazbiz. And here's her.
Are you scatting?
No, her name is Zazbiz, and what she does is she is a sexy British female DJ and a professional voiceover artist from the UK.
Now you could probably use Fiverr to get your serial killer films, and then you'd be like mm-hmm. the Fiverr killer.
That's the whole other thing with gig economy stuff. I'm always afraid that I'm going to be killed. Mm-hmm. All right, so here is her advertisement.
That does go through my mind for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And also remember, you're sending your underpants to a stranger. That's like there's all kinds of stuff that could go wrong with that.
For the perfect DJ drop, podcast intro or radio ad, whatever you need, voice, effects, and music. Order your sexy British voice right here, exclusively on Fiverr.com.
So you had this made for us?
No. I did not have this made for us. What I had made... Oh, you're going to make me log in? Really? What I had made... So I was like, oh, I guess I can just, you know, play what... Have them do whatever. So I just sent them something to read.
Your iPhone home screen is bad. You have too many pages. Why are you using that stupid app? Get rid of those ugly red badges. You should be ashamed of yourself.
And I spent $5 and that's what I got.
That's a terrific use of $5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I didn't know if that was how that was going to go. So I'm also getting my laundry picked up. I was actually going to use Lyft Line for the first time, but then I got scared and didn't do it.
What is Lyft Line?
Lyft Line is like a Lyft or like an Uber, but you share the car with other people, so it's cheaper. But I have no idea what the etiquette for that would be at all, because you know, on the CTA, Chicago's public transportation, like there people are kind of like you know the code, and also there's enough people around that you can very quickly pick up the code. Like, don't pee on people, don't touch legs. But, like, you're in a car. Do you touch legs? Do you make conversation? I don't know what's going to happen. But have you ever used a Lyft Line, Max?
No.
I knew the question that. I don't know why I asked.
Do you guys have casual carpool there?
What? No. What's that?
It's a really interesting phenomenon. I'm trying to find a good comprehensive link for this. But there's a thing called casual carpool. And the basic idea is that... You, especially if you're like going over the bridge or something, like it makes a lot of sense to have like a carpool, but casual carpool is basically you go and you park somewhere, and there's this this is so serial killer. You go to this area where you can park, and then like you just get in a car with like three or four strangers, and there's all of these, and then people like will like trade off to do it. I guess maybe you pitch in on gas or something like that. I've never done it, but apparently there's a very rich culture of understanding what you do and do not do in casual carpool. And I wonder if looking into that, here we go. Oh, etiquette, here we go. Like, for example, you always listen to NPR. I think you don't talk to each other. Respect. Treat riders and drivers how you would want to be treated. No food, loud music, cell phone calls. Only get in vehicles if you feel the situation is safe. Drivers, be safe when in line while driving and during pickup. Communication, be friendly with other riders, but know when they're looking for a quiet ride. If you're new to the system, ask others how it works.
Wait, so you did this?
Shit, no.
Oh, okay.
I hate cars. Oh, no. Lyft, here's the thing with Lyft Line. That's not a bad idea, especially if you want to, it makes it a little more economical. No, no, but not for me. It's already such a crapshoot who your Lyft driver is going to be. They could be a vapor, you know? And like, now you got to talk to a vapor. Got to tell you about the ride I got from a guy who I looked him up on his profile, and he's a DJ. And the entire time I was in his car, he played one of his own songs on repeat from a CD.
Oh, I've had that where at the end the driver will hand you a CD of their work. And,
oh, maybe it's a Splinter Cell. Yeah. It's a. Are you guys watching Nathan for You?
No.
No.
What the fuck? You guys aren't watching Nathan for You?
Okay, you're playing 6 hours of Destiny. Do you have a time turner? Like, I need to care.
I don't know how you could ever go to a movie during the day. I'm a very busy, I'm salary man.
Okay, Nathan for You is the funniest thing on TV.
Nathan, and it's like, say it with mouth words. Nathan for You?
You've never heard of it?
I have not heard of it.
You've got to be kidding me. Okay, it's
yes,
Alex.
I'm kidding you. I'm doing this, okay, I'm doing right, this to right, wind
oh,
you.
Oh, I heard you talking about this with Jen. Okay, yeah.
It's Jen and I's favorite comedy. It's a show on Comedy Central. It's by a comedian named Nathan Fielder. The name of the show is called Nathan for You. I'm sorry, you're familiar with Nathan Fielder, but you don't know who Nathan for You.
He has a Netflix special, right? Right? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't believe so. Maybe. Hmm. But basically the premise of the show is it's like a reality show where he picks a small business every week and then comes in with a plan of how to fix or promote the small business. And it's the most harebrained schemes that – and then he goes and really does them, and it's the funniest shit in the world. Please go. Just go start with this season. Just start watching this season of Nathan for You.
Adding it right now.
It is so fucking funny.
After Rick and Morty, though. Oh, he was on Rick and Morty. Oh, he was Kyle.
Was he on the episode with the Szechuan sauce? Was that him?
No.
Is it the one with Marvin Berry?
Give me the cable. We're stalling here. So I also used Fiverr to do everything. I had a bunch of items made. The first thing was, I thought I was buying a wrap for Merlin, like someone making a wrap, a promotional wrap for Merlin. And what I bought was... And now, I paid $5 for this, but I also paid like an additional like $15 to expedite it. It was actually the most expensive item that I purchased. It was a rush wrap, and it was the most expensive thing that I got in the whole thing, because I wound up spending like $25 or so on it. And... I thought I was getting a rap, but actually what I was getting was a Word document with lyrics for one verse of a rap. And it was sort of too late to make any changes for it. But I'm gonna go ahead and read it, because it is pretty good. I do feel that I got my $25 of value out of this. Okay, ready? So I'm going to kind of read this more as a spoken word piece. His name is Merlin Mann, the hunter of the mind. Got a lot of cash, I guess he is the man. Stunting them, gas, all the hoes go wild. The guy with the vibes makes every... N-word wanna ride. He always stay fly, never catch him sly. The dude's been cooking, but you never see him in the kitchen. That's productivity, never nothing missing. Creativity, every shit he does, litty. Making more money, top some digits. Never horny for then fuck them bitches. He knows the feeling when you the realest N-word in the building.
I do.
Dude from San Francisco, bawling like a big boss. Every hood he goes, he makes it unfroze. Making moves like hoves, may just be the next dude on Forbes. Merlin the magician, all night up like King Arthur. Sparkles like sapphire glowing in the water, looking brighter than the fucking white horse. Hell yes, my dude.
Shit, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why so are that's sapphires your Merlin, in the water? Why that's are sapphires
your,
in the water?
No, don't think about it. That's your new shit. Hang on, I'm going to put this in the text
He's
channel.
Saying that I don't know the vernacular very well.
I had that made for you.
I could be the next Jay-Z? Is that what he's implying?
Yes. Now, I... You're making moves like Hova. Now, I had let's see. I believe I don't remember what this is. I think I also had a commercial made for you, Merlin. Let's listen. Oh. Let's hear that now.
Okay.
Merlin Mann is a well-known productivity expert, public speaker, podcaster, and all-around internet celebrity, especially famous for developing the idea of Inbox Zero. Listen to his podcast, Due by Friday, and find more of his work at MerlinMann.com. That's Merlin, MANN.com.
So that's for you, Merlin. That's a little special treat I made you. Now, Alex, remember we were talking about the other day that we had a meeting and I was complaining about... that I want to know everyone's... I was like, you know, I really should have some sort of software that tells me everyone's birthday so I can remember to get people like cards. And as we were having that meeting, it was your birthday and mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yes, now, I recall.
Now, it was all part of my plan because I was actually planning to have a birthday song written for you. So I commissioned a special birthday song for you. It's a birthday rap that I had made for you and here it is. It's that time of the year.
A great friend, Alex, I can't explain. The type they give you an umbrella when you're in the rain. Yeah. I really appreciate your lots of energy. And you're so smart because you watch documentaries. You're so such a good friend to me. Birthday make it heavy. Can't lie, that's a good vibe you always send to me. Every time I see you, you make my time grateful. You're so organized, like when you have HDMI cable. I would never hate you. It wouldn't serve a purpose. That's why the song's for you, because you deserve it. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. I want you to enjoy it. If I was hurt, you would be my ointment. I would buy 100 Apple computers if I could. And you could listen to podcasts all day like you would. Like you always right. So I have to leave it left here. Happy birthday, Addicts. Until this year.
This is a breakdown.
Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. Oh, they really put a lot into this.
It really does keep going.
It actually gets more sincere at the end.
Wow, it's just not gonna end, is it?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, and then I had one more rap made for you as well.
Thank you, Max. You guys? Lovely.
Yeah. What up, Alex?
Oh, no.
This one's for you. Shout out to Alex Cox, she the coolest, no one better. Host of two podcast shows and audio editor. Due by Friday and Roboism, yeah, I love it. Oh, yeah, I'm a fan of it. Technology, that's my subject. And I gotta say it, oh, yeah, almost forgot. She's a major Apple head, MacBooks and Apple Watch. She loves documentaries, nonfiction, no fables. A pastime organizing HDMI cables, ayy. What up, Alex? Hey, yeah, I gotta say it. Alex Cox, you the flyest in the song I dedicated. Hey, what up, Alex? Oh, yeah, I gotta say it. You got two cats. I guess you're the crazy cat lady. Hey, y'all just playing. Salute to Alex Cox. Yeah. Hey, the number one host of the dopest podcast shows. Make sure to tune in. Yeah.
Okay.
That was worth all five of the dollars that I paid for it.
Happy birthday!
That one's kind of gets stuck in your head, actually.
The
happy birthday one's kind
of. It's got a Gilbert Grape kind of quality. Happy birthday!
Oh, well, those are very, very touching. All right,
so you're very welcome, Alex. I specifically asked them to mention that you love organizing HDMI cables. All right, this is from now. We had one of our now, as you know, we in the premium show that you can give us your fucking money for at patreon.com/dubyfriday. We pre-announce the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. You guys with me?
Yes.
Basically, we talk about what the next week's challenge is going to be. So the people who pay the $5, they already know what's coming. And one of our premium listeners from the Patreon listener Kevin actually participated in the challenge. He also, I think, used Fiverr, a similar service, and had some songs written for the podcast. Now, I have not heard these yet. I've been saving them. But I think, do you want to go through them now and hear some of these songs that were commissioned for Dubai Friday and the Powder Nation?
Yes, please. They're for, please. They're okay. Something.
All right. This one is called Amazing Emotional Song.mp3.
If you want to laugh, go to us. Doesn't matter when, it's all right. We get crazy, we are crazy. Don't you worry about it, about it. Dig dog, diggy dog, diggy dog.
Yes. Oh my god.
Holy shit.
I have to hear that again. Hang on.
Yeah, do it again. Drop that beat. Happy birthday.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Oh my god. Okay, this one is called powder.mp3. I'm already excited.
There's more?
Oh, there's quite
several.
A few. Yes.
There's several. It's 2 minutes and 13 seconds long. What?
From day one to day seven.
This is good, actually.
Yeah, that's Regina Spector. Yes! That's Regina Spector.
Before the time is due, make sure that you complete your challenge, cause we are the Powder Nation.
What the f-
I know!
Watch movies, we are the Powder.
Oh my god.
Marlene and Max. And Alex and her loves. Every week they come, every week they come up with something nice, with something new. We are the power.
I feel like I want to give some money to stray dogs or something.
I know!
For that.
I think you can't spend more than $50 on the website, and I've listened to that song about 10 times. I love it one, so much. Thank you.
This one is called let's see. We've got a couple we've got a few more. This one's called jingle1.wave.
Do it by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast. We challenge each other, challenge yourself.
Hell yes. Yeah. And jingle2.wave.
Hey Powder Nation. It's time for our weekly challenge.
This is better than the music that we have, honestly.
Do it by Friday.
Oh, and this one is called jingle2lines.mp3.
Okay.
Do it by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast. We challenge each other. Challenge yourself.
Yes.
Do it by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast. We challenge each other. Challenge yourself. Do it by Friday.
Stop saying it.
Challenge each other. Challenge yourself.
You're making it worse.
Smiling Asian boy. Smiling Asian boy.
Weekly challenge. Hey, Powder Nation. It's time for our weekly challenge.
I don't like the way she's saying it.
It's time for our weekly challenge.
She's stomping on some stamps right now.
I mean,
she's
we could
totally
use those.
Ruining some stamps. She's so condescending. It's
we
so
could
hot.
We could really use that as a will you sort of maybe edit that into the bumper when we get to the challenge this week, Alex? Let me play it one more time.
Hey, Powder Nation! It's time for our weekly challenge. Hey, Powder Nation! It's time for our
Stop
weekly challenge.
That. Do it by Friday. Do it by Friday.
Do it by Friday.
Do it by Friday.
You know, David Fincher could have been there. Like, all right, take it again. Take it again. From the top. From the top.
I think she was hacking our mind.
If I kiss you where it's all.
Oh, man, I feel
Didn't
I feel
she have
bad.
A kind of Regina Spektor quality? The singing lady?
Oh, yes.
No one reads my texts anymore. God.
Which one are you? I thought you had me muted.
No, I texted
Let
like
Let me tell you, I'm never
going to,
I'm never
song.
Scrolling up in this text thread again. That's this text thread true. Has like bedrock and it's
got a couple specs in it.
I'm never going up so far that I see the screen grabs from this
well,
goddamn
actually,
video.
I have a few questions for you too, Miles Davis. Miles Davis, how are you so cool?
All right. Are there more
Miles
gigs
Davis,
to share?
Do you have boobies?
Stop. Stop talking. You're making it worse.
Hi. I'm Richard Speck. Hi, my name is Richard Speck. Hi, are you a member of the nursing community? Hi, I'm Richard Speck. Are you hiding under the bed?
I don't like that he's becoming a recurring character already.
What do you think, Miles Davis?
Are there more gig economies? Hey, it's a Do It By Friday, everyone. Welcome back. Are there more gig economies?
Well,
I think we nailed it.
No. So
there's more.
Merlin, are you familiar with an app called TaskRabbit?
Yes.
Well,
we have employed TaskRabbit, and
really?
It's really creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I there's you might know there's a phone coming out tomorrow, very early tomorrow morning.
You did not.
No.
You
no.
Didn't.
Well, okay.
We're talking
okay.
about it. We're talking about so, it. Can we talk about this in the after show, or is this part of
but
the challenge?
I think this could be this.
Did you get a boy?
I
bet you got a boy.
Alex and okay. I talked about. We had a brief conversation about yesterday about if we should get a boy, and if we do, how do we get a boy, and is it ethical to get a boy, and what exactly does the boy do, and do we need two boys or only one boy?
Well, but here's the crazy thing. I thought...
Comment said one boy, here there are two.
One is none.
dear task rep at FAQs, well, I require two boys. I require a line boy.